This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! But mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
All right, the countdown has ended. All you guys and gals, ghouls and girls and teens, queens, guys in blue jeans, and everybody who came here to see the doings at Motormouth Radio, you've tuned in to Long Island's only automotive talk show with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. How are you today, Chris?
Doing well, my brother. Everything is good. I'm just contemplating working in the cold once again today and wearing my 12-year-old skull cap. And it's not the skull cap that I is 12 years old. It's the skull cap that I had at the age of 12, and it still fits this round melon that I call my head.
Smaller, I know. Well, I'll tell you what.
Yes.
You twiddle that skull cap and ponder this, because for the next hour, you and I and the listeners have an extreme treat. We have with us the Duke of Dodge, the Count of Chrysler, the Master of Mopar Muscle, Mr. Steve Madiante. Steve, thanks for being with us today on Motormouth Radio.
Stevie Megs!
Yeah, great to be back. Thanks, guys. I think my second, maybe my third appearance here, but happy to be with you guys and talk to any and all callers. And, yeah, glad to be here.
Yes, thanks for coming on. You've been with us a number of times. I could go back to the files and dig it out and find out. But, yeah, you've graciously given us some of your time a number of times, and we appreciate that. The listeners appreciate that.
Yes.
And, geez, you know, the biggest problem we have now is where do we start and where do we end? Because this hour is going to fly by. But let me say, let me just say first that if people want to see, keep up with us, what we do, follow us on social media, Motormouth Radio on the internet, on Facebook, on Twitter, and we're Real_MotormouthRadio on Instagram. And if you want to give us a call and talk to Steve, you can. The number is 516-256-9510. And with that, let's go.
Steve, I got to ask you. I'm loving the Junkyard Crawl. I've been watching it every chance I get on YouTube, and you always pop up in my YouTube selection, and I'm always gravitating to it. How did that concept come about? How did you sell that concept of crawling around the junkyard? How did you move that forward?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, as you know, as most indicators show, it's been pretty popular. Folks tend to like it. Ironically, it took 5 years to get that on the air.
Wow.
And, you know, I will say this, not pointing any fingers, but, you know, some folks who run TV networks aren't really automotive. You know, I'll leave it like that. And so with some of the previous administrations, you know, I pitched the show, and, a little too teachy. Yeah, you got anything else? And, well, no, but this is a show I think your people will like. And, well, and you know, in one case, I went to an executive, and they said, okay, remember, I'm not a car guy, but go ahead, pitch it on me. And I'm thinking, this is a guy who runs a channel that used to be called the opposite of slow, if you will, speed, if you know what I'm saying. And I was blown away by the lack of, I guess, automotive knowledge on the part of the decision makers. That said, I mean, it takes a team. You know, if you had just hot rodders running a business, sometimes, you know, it wouldn't grow like it could, because it takes an MBA and a whole team of people to make things happen. But anyway, decision makers weren't really hip to the idea that junkyards were cool places. They kind of saw them as junkyards. So anyway, beyond all that stuff, I created about a half hour long pilot, and chunks of that can be seen still on YouTube. When you see something called this, the Steve Mignanti's Muscle Junkyard Crawl, That right. is stuff that I self-funded. So with that said, I pitched those to MotorTrend / Roadkill / David Freiberger, who said, yeah, this is pretty good. Let's try it out. So they gave it a test on the MotorTrend On Demand app, and it was amazingly well-received. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a weird thing. There's a thing called Watch Through. And basically, that's a rating of the number of people, a measure of the number of people who begin watching something and follow it to the end. Well, we got a 47%, which I thought, well, where's the other 60 or 53 going? You know what I mean? But 27 to 14 is typical. So with that said, it was very, very popular. So that opened the eyes to the current administration running, MotorTrend, et cetera. And now they're running it on Friday nights, and it's been, well received, which is great, you know. And so we did 32 episodes, and crazy thing is, when COVID just started to hit, we were down at Stevens Performance in Anderson, Alabama, and one of the cameramen, great guy, Doug Potts, was saying, boy, this thing in China is looking serious. Who knew that was the beginning of this thing that would come to the whole globe, COVID.
Sure.
So anyway, we wrapped up season 3, and we're still waiting to get into season 4, but it's, I think, imminent, right around the corner, but it threw everything into a curve. But with that said, it finally got, it was David Freiberger, one of the guys on Roadkill, who greenlit the test of Junkyard Gold, and happily he had the vision to allow it, and the viewers love it so far, so that's great.
Now, I'm telling you, it's great.
It is, and unlike, because, Steve is saying, who would think junkyards could be, interesting places? You just got to visit our houses.
Right. But, the funny thing is,
like, this is like a museum of junk.
I go through junkyards as many chances as I get. And Steve, I swear, I do the same thing you do, only there's no cameras, no one's there. But I'm walking around going, look at this Imperial. This is a 67, 68. Like, I do that out loud. I'm saying these things. And it's like I watch a show and I go, holy smokes, this is Steve does the same thing, only he's doing it professionally and the way you should do it.
Right. But
it hits home. It's so, I gravitate to it. It is so good. Just to watch it, live with it. It's great.
Yeah. You know, every car has something special. I mean, even like in the world of the Chevy Vega, Vegas came with 3-speed manuals, 4-speed manuals, and eventually 5-speed manuals. And there was even a semi-automatic transmission available. So, I mean, like, when you see a Vega, check it out. See which transmission it had. And there's even drum brakes on Pintos for a little while. You can get drum brakes in the front of a Pinto. Some had discs. So, I mean, just these weird little things on even something as lowly, quote-unquote, as a Vega or a Pinto. In fact, we did an episode, Vega, Pinto, Dodge Colt. Detroit takes on the Volkswagen Bug, and that was a very highly rated episode. People loved it because, again, if you dig in, no matter what that vehicle is, if you, use a little bit of thought and look at it in 3D, look at the whole picture, you can point out things to people. I didn't know that. And as soon as you get somebody saying, I didn't know that, then you've got them and it's a success. And in the meantime, you've given the car its due. Every car has its pluses. There's no such thing as a car that's worthless, except for the Renault LeCar. I'm kidding. Yeah. I had one of those. My joke is there's no way I will ever have another Renault LeCar, but they're good little cars for what they are. But anyway, but every car really has its little story in it. And it saddens me to see them in junkyards. So I kind of give them, a little bit of respect and last rites by focusing attention on them on the show.
It's pretty cool because you basically you give worth to everything I do. I mean, I've made notes on some of the shows, and the one right here is the abandoned projects and street racing Chevys, where you did that 73 Vega, the Don Hardy kit. I've been talking about that for a while. The thing I didn't get, well, the thing I didn't know, and again, we all learn stuff. You said that the grab bar in that car was off from a 64 GTO. We're like, yeah, look at that. I never thought of that. Sure, it is. I have a 65.
Yeah,
it's the same part. And the other thing, you talk about the in-tank fuel pump, the first car to use an in-tank electric pump, which I didn't know. And you mentioned the OPP, which is Other People's Projects.
Right. A little play on words.
That should go into we have what's called a Motormouth Radio decoder on our website where there's terminology we use. And if we were to use OPP, that would go into the decoder. Someone could go there like a dictionary and look it up, say, what the hell are those knuckleheads talking about? but yeah, it's those little factoids. And this past week, of course, our friend Bill is wanted to talk, get in about this. You were at a place after Chris's heart where you said Stevens Performance in Alabama. It was all about C-bodies, Chris.
Yeah.
And there were these C-bodies with the 69 last year for the C-body 4-speed. I mean, we all learn so much. Chris, you do now have yourself a whale. So tell Steve about it.
Yeah. No, Steve, I've come to realize I bought a Mopar. I bought a C-body. I bought a 69 Chrysler convertible. And it is amazing how orphaned it is compared to the B-bodies and E-bodies and even A-bodies. It's, you know, the CUDA Challengers, the Coronets and Chargers and the Darts and even the Valiants and obviously the Dusters. It's like so removed. And when you talk to a Mopar professional about this car, they go, I don't know that. I'm like, it's a Chrysler for crying out loud. What do you mean you don't know it?
Yeah, same 440 or 383, same torque flight, same 3.75, you know, and right. It's just a larger vehicle. But well, the good news on those is that the demand is lower, which means you can buy them without breaking the bank, which is great. Yes.
But the problem is, though, Steve, like Chris is finding out, to do a restoration, even a nice street restoration, parts are like unobtainium.
Oh, my gosh.
It's one of the sad things about it.
You know, we've had guys like Mark Warman and Tony D'Agostino on this show, and we've asked them about, hey, where can we find parts for this car? And they both said, sorry, man, not my bag. We deal with, you know, E's and B's and, you know, maybe a little bit of an A-bar. So, you know, it's such a pinpointed type of a group. So,
but what happens is now, I mean, those cars now, you could pick out parts out of a catalog, but not the C-bodies. So I have to gravitate to what you're doing. I am now that, what would you say, that wounded automotive warrior, where at one time I used to have a TR6 and I opened up a Moss Motors catalog and I went, oh, I need this, this, and that. And I shopped with my credit card. That was 20 years. Now I own an old Chrysler and I'm thinking, there's no catalog. There's no credit card availability for parts. So I have to go back to the junkyard. And now watching you, it's like, you're my guide. You're my muse.
Sherpa.
I gravitate to you now because of this new situation I'm in. And mind you, the last time I dealt with any of these cars, they were just 20-year-old cars. This car is 50 years old now.
You need to go down to Alabama to Stevens Performance.
Now, if you go and look for Chrysler soft stuff, CSS, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find dash pads. You're certainly not going to find seats. I have door panels that I'm trying to restore that look like they came from the bottom of a river. I have. So now I come to you, Almighty, for junkyard knowledge. Just one question that I do have to ask you, and this is something I do need to know. How do you dress when you go to a junkyard? I see the full camo, but is there secrets to how you dress and what you're supposed to bring when you step into a junkyard to someone, to the unknowledgeable?
Well, good point. I would say good boots that you can't puncture easily, you know. Mm. Like, I got to say, you know, Freiberger and Finnegan, those guys on Roadkill, it's great to see them doing their thing. But sometimes Freiberger, he wears, like, those sandals. That's kind of his trademark. But to wear those in a junkyard, man, you're asking for, you know, stub toes and beyond that, scorpions, rattlesnakes, that kind of stuff. So anyway, with that said, with, you know, all deference to David, good pair of boots, you know, and also boots that go up maybe, you know, above the ankle for sure. Sure, because sometimes you're climbing through pickers and stuff like that. Anything, all the better to keep your ankles from getting shredded as you make your way through, kick your way through, you know, a stiff bush that has a whole bunch of pickers and stuff on it. And also, I would say, probably a jacket that is more like a nylon versus cotton or something like that, because, again, the pickers won't dig in as much. And, in fact, at Stevens Performance, I got there, and I always get to these junkyards about 3 or 4 days before the production crew gets there, because that way I can zero in on my vehicles, make my notes, kind of write the episode without people standing around waiting for me to make my notes, you know. So anyway, with that said, I got to Stevens, and that place was overgrown in the places I wanted to go. In fact, the E-body section, which I wanted to hit, was severely overgrown. So I says, okay, well, I guess we'll do what we can get at. So that was C-bodies and B-bodies. But even with that said, they had a guy come in with a chainsaw and clear it out. And I'm not to that point. The season, the time of year you go to the junkyard also plays a role in whether you're going to get poison ivy or not, or get beehives and that kind of stuff. So a great time to go is late summer, you know, late fall, I should say, early winter. That's a great time to go. Of course, with snow not being on the ground. But, so just thick clothing is a key thing.
Yeah, because I remember being in a junkyard one time, and I was in going past a Volkswagen microbus with the camper option, and the camper was up. So it was the cloth was kind of mangled, but I turn, and I'm face-to-face with a hornet's nest. I mean, literally, like 4 inches from my nose, and I went, do like the slow turn away. Like, let me try and get through this prickly bush. Get the heck out of here. Yeah, because it gets frightening. And to think about that, like, you have to wear almost like a bulletproof vest to get through the muck and mire.
So, you know, Steve, a couple episodes ago, you did one that was close to my heart. It was called Corner Carvers European Sports Cars, where you were talking about the MGs, but then you hit on my favorite, the one that's near and dear to my garage, which was the Fiat Spider, which nobody ever talks about. I was like, a Fiat Spider.
That was an interesting. Oh, go ahead.
No, Fish. That was I actually found a couple inconsistencies. I could a couple corrections on that, but they were really minor. But that was a great episode. One that I thought was. And that's what I like about what you do. It was so seemingly uncharacteristic for what you typically do, but yet you went outside of what we know as that comfort zone. And I champion it. I think that's fantastic. And thank you for doing that, because no one else has ever gone there.
Sure. Well, you know what happened with the shows. Early on, the show was supposed to be going to the junkyard and just finding cool stuff freeform as it appeared. But the downside to that, believe it or not, came down to a thing called title and description. When networks have TV shows, they have to have sort of a roster of what they have, so people looking to watch the shows can say, I'll watch that one. So the title and description have to be brief and concise. And so the trouble was, making titles and descriptions, it always read, Steve finds cool stuff, was a problem. So Motor Trend said, Steve, you gotta have some connective tissues. What can you do? Yes. I said, how about a theme? Okay, go make it happen. So the theme is, I go to the boneyard and I find a variety of cars that fit some theme. So anyway, we went to that yard. That was in Texas, I believe.
K&K,
that's right, K&K. And the trouble with the place was that a lot of new and a lot of old were interspersed together, and there was no real theme. So in the end, I says, oh boy, what am I going to do? And they had a bunch of Buicks. Okay, there's Buicks. So we did one episode on Buicks there. And the other one, I says, well, what else? Oh, okay, here's 5 sports cars, believe it or not. And they were all quite different. The Jensen Healey was an amazing piece. The 914 was good. I said, okay, we'll do sports cars. Why not? So there it was. And we almost called the episode Euro Trash. We figured it would be angering of some people. But that's what that was. Just basically going into the yard and saying, okay, what do we have to work with? And, European sports cars. So that was the genesis of that one.
If I could just add to that, I know you mentioned the automatic, the transmission that the Fiat had, which was kind of oddball. I found out earlier in my Fiat career, because I've had a couple of those cars for many, many years. That's a Turbo 200 that was used in the Chevette along with that shifter. And
I mentioned it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you did. Because back in the 70s and into the 80s, GM owned 33% of Fiat. A lot of people didn't know that. I found out from a diehard Fiat guy. So I guess that's how they had access to the parts bin.
Interesting. Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah. Of course, now that it's crazy, this big bowl of soup in history that we have. Of course, Fiat Chrysler, you know, NGM, and then it's interesting, these incestuous relationships, as it were, that have come and gone through the years. You know, and of course, I was talking to some buddies of mine. They were talking about their new Chevy pickup truck the other day and its beautiful 10-speed transmission, which, as we know, was a collaboration between General Motors and Ford. Mm-hmm. That 10-speed, and both vehicles use it, and probably a different bell housing or whatever, different programming. But it's interesting how, you know, Detroit holds hands behind the scenes. A whole lot of stuff happens, you know, Volvo and GM and vehicles that are actually Volvo bones under a GM skin. And it's interesting. It's a worldwide market for sure.
Absolutely. The one of my other favorite titles was Playing with Blocks. And you said,
big blocks and small blocks.
Big block Chevys. Right. Yeah, it was like, hey. So yeah, I caught on to that because I one of the things I have to do when this show gets uploaded, and then again, this show goes up on iHeartRadio, goes on Spreaker, it goes on our website, motormouthradio.com, is I have to make a title and a description. And the station manager in the beginning was kind of berating me. No, make it shorter. I'm like, how short can I make it?
it's what to leave out. That's the big problem. Yeah.
It's a teaser. It becomes a teaser. Yeah.
Yeah,
Steve, is there is there anything that you've ever come across that has completely stumped you? Like, you're like, I have no clue what this is?
Well, no, never, not really. You know, pretty much, good. Well, I mean, you know, maybe a handmade car or something like that, but not pretty much. I've always, I was surprised to see some Rolls Royces in Colorado. There's a boneyard right near Denver. And there's a couple of Rolls-Royce Ghosts, which, you know, I mean, it's an expensive vehicle when it needs help or repairs. So there was a couple of junk Rolls-Royces, which is kind of strange to see there. And no Grey Poupon, no mustard in the trunk, I was hoping. But that was a little weird, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's – but I guess sometimes I'll make a boo-boo, that's for sure. And on the Studebaker episode, I stomped in it when I said that SDP stood for what scientifically treated petroleum or something like that. But I got it backwards. And sometimes you just move on. And we got a bunch of emails and yes. And the irony is, in my book, 1001 Muscle Car Facts, I said the correct fact on STP and what it did and didn't mean. So there it is.
Right.
So I plead 56 years old. That's what it is.
It doesn't mean stop those pistons? I thought it meant that.
Yeah. But yeah, sometimes you overflow and you forget what you know sometimes. But the trigger on that was this unusual little Studebaker, kind of a gasser car we found in a boneyard. And under the hood were two well-preserved Bardol stickers from like 1962. And
oh,
I thought, wow, interesting. And so that got me thinking about STP and oil and how it would have been more appropriate to see an STP sticker because it's a Studebaker and et cetera, et cetera. But it misfired. But yeah, sometimes things, you know, you do what you can to research properly and sometimes you're stomping it. But that's part of the deal.
Let me ask you a question. Besides the interesting vehicles that you're shown driving in with, like that Roadrunner, in that Playing with Blocks episode, you did something pretty cool. You actually rode a Mustang, a four-legged Mustang, a horse, through the
churchyard.
How'd that happen?
Well, it was kind of funny. That was a great little yard. It was in Texas, right down the road. We were staying in, I think it was El Paso, Texas. And this yard, it was Arizona, right on the edge between the two. But anyway, it was we went to the boneyard, and they had horses. I guess they just like to have horses. And the producer, Chris Reed, said, "Hey, Steve, you ever ride a horse?" "Yeah, back when I was 16. Why don't you jump up on his horse?" So they had a very gentle horse, and I hopped up on it, and they made that part of the show. And I did my best, but whatever. Yeah, nice horse.
You can read 1001 Mustang Facts by Steve Magnante, of course.
Ray is holding up the book on our Zoom meeting here.
You can see Steve riding a Mustang on the Playing with Blocks up. So I thought, you know, it's little things like that that, of course, they lighten the moment. And they just, you know, it's something that we never see coming. So we go, wow, look at that. And that's what we like. That's what the guys like us who are, I will say, the real car guys in the world, we kind of like stuff like that because the facts and figures are great. But we're not all facts and figures guys.
And one thing that the shows, there's, I think, 31, 32 of them, and they do show them on Friday nights on Motor Trend television, cable TV.
Yes.
But unfortunately, they've taken out the bloopers. If you watch the shows online on the Motor Trend app, which is Motor Trend On Demand, there's, you know, at the end of every episode, there's something that goes wrong or some goofy thing or whatever it might be. So it's kind of fun, stuff like that. But yeah, they took them out for the network. I'm not sure why, but there it is. But it's fun to have. You have to have fun, otherwise it's not fun, right?
Absolutely.
Can you bring up one of the bloopers that has happened throughout the show?
Well, just they'd be more visual things, I suppose. Wow. I had a shopping cart full of pieces and parts, and right on cue, one of the wheels fell off, and these pulleys came tumbling out of it. It was just a goofy thing that happened, and it was almost like it was designed to fall apart. It just did. You know?
With all the cars you've seen, Steve, has there been anything where that you've actually taken home or purchased and said, "I got to have this"?
You know, I came close at K&K actually on a '69 Roadrunner. That was a rust-free car, faded car, just, you know, cooked in the sun. And a couple of dents here and there, but no rust at all. It was a column shift 383 automatic car, no air grab, just a very basic car. Had AC, which to me is a negative. It's complexity and weight that I don't really need. But anyway, but the car was just a pure, you know, relic. And I was thinking, I should get this thing, put a 512-inch wedge in it, and just drive it around right like it is. Yeah. I came close on that one, but I said, getting it back from Texas, and I've already got a couple of goofy cars, so I'm kind of, so I passed on that. But not for the most part, I've had a bunch of cars, and almost anything I might want to own, I've kind of had an example of it, and the rest of it, it's either too expensive to own or, you know, whatever. So I've never purchased a car on the show, no, but came close on that Roadrunner. Yeah, I was thinking about it.
That's cool. Well, let me mention again, if people want to call, and I know it's happening because I'm seeing it already. People aren't calling because they just want to listen to you. They don't want to interrupt. And that happens when we have, you know, good guests. But the number is 516-256-9510. And you can talk to Steve. You know, another thing that I learned that I wrote down, that when you were back with the Big Block Chevy episode, that the D8 ducktail Camaro spoiler on the second gen Camaros, which is one of my favorites, I owned one of those. That's one I wish I had back, was designed by Mark Donohue, the racer, which, like, wow, again, I didn't know that.
And funny thing, too, is he also had a hand in the Javelin spoiler, because, of course, you know, Donohue worked for American Motors as well, and, you know, was jumping back and forth here and there. And, of course, the Mark Donohue Javelin was a creation of him. But he also worked for GM. So, yeah, it's sort of the aerodynamics, I guess, no matter what the vehicle is, they can be made to fit it and improve it. But it is interesting that, yeah, you're right, with, you know, Camaro, there's two different spoilers. And the small one's very subtle. I like it. But when you see the big one, that big ducktail piece, that's the one you want.
That's my favorite.
It's really cool.
And I know people feel just the opposite. Like, no, that little one is it's the cat's meow. You got to go with that one. I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
And of course, the other one, the large one, was used on the Trans Am as well. That three-piece unit was used on the Firebird.
But they're not interchangeable, correct?
No, they're not.
That's right, yeah. Slightly different, yeah, yeah. Similar idea, but right.
Right, it's kind of funny when you see one on the other, and you know instantly, you're like, no, that's not right.
you know. Speaking of Firebirds, I love them, but there's something that General Motors did that just is befuddling in hindsight. And a lot of people, well, maybe do or don't know, but any Pontiac Trans Am built after 1973 does not have a functional shaker. Now, in 74...
Steve, can we stop you for a second? We want to take a call.
Sure.
Can we do that? Let's do that.
Sure. Yep, okay.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun at 516-256-9510. And you're on with the Motor Mouths and Steve Magante.
Hey, how's it going? It's Steve Webb.
Hey, Steve.
Hey. Hi, Steve. Steve, meet
hey,
Steve.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah. Steve Webb from Celebrity Chase. I have a question for Steve. Been bothering me for a number of years now. Back in the day, a friend of mine, and there's always that kid on the block, he had a brand new 72 Challenger, okay, plum crazy, 446 pack, the whole bit, okay, he gave me off that car the original Firestone white ovals, all right? Every restoration I ever saw on any of the shows, when they restore a Challenger, they always come up with Goodyear white ovals. Was that a rare thing that they came originally with Firestones? Do you know anything about it? And where do I find the date code and all that stuff?
Well, yeah. Well, a couple things. I know certainly that, you know, Chrysler did utilize tires from various manufacturers, and it might have been a plant-by-plant thing or a supply thing. But, yeah, generally you'll see Goodyears on Chryslers. But I believe Firestones were available, but I'm not the final authority on that. What I will say, though, is on older tires, vintage ones, I'm not sure what year, I think 74 or 75, the DOT marking cast into the tire won't be there on older, true, new old stock tires. So if you don't see DOT markings on those, that would, of course, work in their favor. Mm-hmm. And just one thing, you mentioned a 72 Challenger. I'm going to guess it was a 71, because as you know, in 72, the 440 was gone, the six-pack was gone. But there was probably a 70 or 71.
Okay, then I
yeah, yeah. But yeah, the tire thing, not sure, but I certainly know that, you know, Firestone or Goodyear at times would be interchangeably used on cars on the assembly line. Not sure why, but probably availability.
Yeah, because I know they came off that car, he said, I'm going to get new tires. You want those tires for your car? And I didn't have any money at the time. And I said, yeah, that'd be great. I'd take those tires, you know. And I mustered up $80 of my confirmation money, and I went down and bought a set of slotted disc, chrome slotted disc wheels, and I mounted them on my 34. And they've been there ever since. They're in my garage.
I was just going to ask you, Steve, knowing you, where do you have them now? Because you're as bad as the rest of us.
right where I left them 49 years ago.
Amazing.
You know, they're still on the 34. They're on the original slotted disc wheels, and they look great. They hold air, you know, so it's a pretty rare thing.
That's amazing.
Chris, let me just put this out there for you, Steve. If you and Chris ever go cruising in your respective cars, the 34 and in Chris's Newport, I'll be driving the flatbed behind you, but I can only bring one of you back at a time because you're both driving on outdated, you know, old original tires.
It's the truth.
Blow out.
That's for sure. Yeah, that's sure. But they would be great for a restoration of some sort. Right. You know, some guy that wants to be 100% correct.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they wouldn't be driving them.
Right. Wouldn't put it on a highway.
That question's been bothering me for years because I know they came off that 71 Challenger. I was there. I was there. And every show I see that they restore a Challenger, it always has good years on it. I know they fire
it. In a polyglass. Yeah, right. Are they red lines, these tires? Are these red lines?
No, they're just the white oval, Firestone white oval.
Yeah, the white oval used the white letter wide and the O for the oval.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Squashed, yeah.
Exactly. That's
right.
Yeah.
Steve, thanks so much for the call.
Yeah, right. You answered my question. All right.
Thanks, Steve. Good talking to you.
Always a pleasure. Bye-bye. 516-256-9510 is the phone number if you want to talk to Stevie Maggs, the man with rust that's rolling through his veins. I love that line. I read that recently. I was like,
and I
say,
what? The other rusty fellow I know, who I'm looking at right now. You know what I mean? I'm looking at one right now. We got to take the bottom of the hour break, play a couple spots. Chris, do we have an honor group of the hour today?
Of course we do, Ray, as we do every week here at Motormouth Radio. We have the Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour. And this week, it's people who miss their exit. Have you just driven to the next exit like all those boring people? Or have you driven by your exit and tried to back up like crazy people like I've tried? Have you driven past your exit on the highway and made a wide sweeping turn on the grass just to get back to it? Or have you missed the exit in New Jersey and were lost forever? Well, if you admitted to glazing over and missing your exit on the highway, then you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. So pat yourself on the back and pay attention.
Excellent. And Steve, if you'll sit with us for a little bit, we just have a couple of minutes of promos and spots to play. We could take care of some business, pay some bills, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio with your host, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and our guest, Steve Magnante, here on 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Oh.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Motor Mouth!
You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
No, hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Motor Mouth!
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No, I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evan Root.
As always, you are consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming. I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Oh, this is why I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
So I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Motor Mouth!
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3
FM WHBC.
Motor mouth.
It's a call-studded program. We do have another caller on the line. Caller, identify yourself.
Anthony, I called those guys with the cars one time.
Oh, nice, the motor mouth guys.
Oh, yeah, those good old boys.
There you are. Anthony, where are you calling from?
I'm in Freeport. Yeah, this morning I miss it. My boss was, every time I turn it on, he turns it off. I say, whoa. I give him a karate chop.
That's right.
Give him a karate chop.
Give him an F5.
I love it.
Man, dude.
It's a pleasure, bro. Take it easy. That was
amazing.
My favorite caller.
Of all time.
Maybe all time. I have heard him with the Motormouth guys. That's why I recognize them a little.
Please stay tuned for Motormouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon. Every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles, and these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars, and okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in kind of a somewhat comical fashion.
All right. Thanks for holding your seats, holding on to your seats and staying with us. You've stick with Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. We have Steve Bagnante with us today. And we also have on the line Chassis John from down in Floridia. John, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How's it going?
Excellent.
Doing well.
Got a question for Steve?
Just a couple of quick statements. Steve, we've met numerous times at Barry Jackson and out in SEMA, and I'm just constantly amazed at your encyclopedic brain and the tidbits that you spit out on your various shows. And you got that little book where you're doing the Barry Jackson deal, and it's great car guy stuff. And I've learned so many little tidbit facts through the years just watching you doing these broadcasts. I'm like, I never knew that. Oh, my gosh, I never knew that. Yeah. It's just awesome stuff.
Well, thank you. You know, it is a true that, I'd be out of a job if cars could talk, but they can't. So my job, or our job, is to sort of zero in on stuff about the car that's not obvious, but interesting or intriguing, you know, like a 3-speed manual and a GTO or something like that. So if we know that's going to hit the stage, I'll say to the guys with the chassis cam, hey, get the chassis cam on this thing. And of course, there was two 3-speeds possible in GTOs, the heavy duty piece, which looked like a Ford top loader and came from Ford's TNC division, and the light duty M13, which was a General Motors Saginaw piece. So, you know, in other words, everything is like an onion. You know, there's so many layers you could peel back. So I peel back a couple, and, rather than going for the obvious stuff, just dial it in a little bit tighter and share that info. And it seems to work. People like it. And again, if cars start talking, I'm out of work. But that's okay. I'll listen to them if they ever start.
Well, you know, my cars talk to us. You know, as a car guy, if you have your car ears open, you pick up on those little things, and they do kind of communicate, and you just have to be open to, you know, it's kind of like the spirit world. You have to be open to having the communication, because some people go through life not knowing a damn thing. Your brakes could be literally falling. We were next to a car the other day. My wife said to me, with the windows closed, what the hell's the matter with that guy's car? I'm like, yeah, his brakes are basically, it's a lathe going on under there. There's metal. She goes, it sounds like metal to metal. I'm like, yes, it is.
Very true. Wow. Yes.
So while I was listening, I heard you start talking about second-gen Firebirds and Trans Ams, and that's me.
Here we go.
But I'm the guy that takes a Firebird or a Trans Am and hacks it up and puts a narrowed Ford rear in it. Maybe at one point I had a Ford top loader 4-speed, and I always used big block Chevrolets. So I'm one of those guys that says, make it how you want it, not the way it came.
Yeah, well, as long as you own the car, you're free to do as you please with it, you know. And for the most part, people do the right stuff with their vehicles. You know, and originality is something that it only happens once. But with that said, there's plenty to go around for the most part. You know, I mean, you wouldn't want to take a ZL1 Carrero, 69 built, and pull a 427 aluminum engine out and put a 327 in there. But, I mean, that's been done. But, of course, probably back in 1970 or so when it was just a car, you know. But, yeah.
Right.
But.
Well, there you go, my Absolutely. Brother. Thank you for the question.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks, John. We'll give it our best shot.
Talk to you guys later.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. 516-256-9510 was the phone number to get a hold of the Motormouths and Steve Magnante from Roadkill's Junkyard Gold, the man with rust running through his veins.
Well, you know, let me go out on the cliff here and ask a favor of Steve, if I might. I wonder, Steve, if you could give us just a quick audio drop that we could use, you know, in our programming. We'll put on our promos. You know, just saying that you, whatever you want to say, like you hate the Motormouth Radio guys and you wish we'd eat dirt. Whatever, you know, I mean, you know what to do. You've done radio. You do, you know what to, if you could indulge us, please, I would appreciate that
on the show.
Sure. Oh, yeah, happily. Just say, we just call action.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, action.
Hey, Steve Mignone here with the guys from Motormouth Radio, your one-stop shop for information on cars of all descriptions. Stay tuned.
Excellent. Thank you very
Love
much.
Love it.
We'll put that in circulation right away. So
yes.
Tell us, please, about your new podcast that's going on. That's exciting news.
Well, sure. Yeah, it's something that's kind of a product of COVID, but also something I've wanted to do for a while. But it's called the Steve Maggs Muscle Car Show. And we started in, I think, October 19th, something like that. We get 20,000 subscribers already, and that's wonderful. But what I do basically is I've done 3 books, Steve Mignante's 1001 Muscle Car Facts, Corvette Facts, and Mustang Facts. And what I do is I read from the books, and between each fact, before moving on, I give what you might call author commentary, which is like either why that fact was chosen or something a little bit extra about it that I forgot to write about or include in the book or didn't have space for. And it's been wonderful. But we have a side show that sort of comes out on Fridays called From the Vault, and basically I've been a magazine writer since 1992, way back at Chrysler Power Magazine and Mopar Action and Drag Racing Monthly, and then finally got to Hot Rod Magazine back in 1997 and stayed there for 7 years. But anyway, in the early days I would take tape recorded phone calls of people like Sox and Martin, Dick Landy, Bill Jenkins, and then interview them about, you know, something that became a story. Well, I recently discovered those tapes, and now I'm downloading them and putting them on the podcast. So we had one on Jimmy Addison. In fact, I called Jimmy Addison. Of course, he was the guy who built and owned and street raced the Silver Bullet, which was probably, well, the first and only factory-backed street race car back in 69 through 72. And there's Jimmy Addison telling me about the car, his memories with it and stuff. So that one you can find on the Steve Maggs Muscle Car Show. And one coming up soon is Lou Arrington, who was the guy who, with Jungle Jim Lieberman, built the Brutus GTO funny car back in 1965, 66 in San Jose, California. And Lou Arrington, I interviewed him in 1996 when he was, I think, 58 or so years old. He's telling me about how, well, I just work at Meineke Mufflers in Maryland now, and no more drag racing for me. But he was happy to talk about Brutus and his times with it. So a lot more of that to come on the Steve Maggs Muscle Car Show. But
you know, and that was near to my heart because, of course, I've owned a 65 GTO since 1975. Finally got it in condition where it's painted, so now I'm afraid to use it. But, again, Brutus has been a car that I knew about since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And said, wow, and I love the way you do the models. And people have been contacting me saying, hey, ask Steve about the models. What does he think about the current state? I mean, I saw some models in Tennessee when I was on vacation. Muscle cars, you know, a Chevelle, a GTO, and they were like sticker priced at $28, $30. I'm like, get the heck out of here. You know, it's no. You know,
right.
What are your thoughts of, you know, if you have a, you know, if you have a concurrent thought about models, what do you think?
Sure. Well, you know, like most of us, you guys included, probably, you know, Hot Wheels cars when we were 8 or 9 led to 1/25th scale plastic model kits. We were maybe 10 or 11 or 12. And, of course, yeah, back then in 1975, there were $2.25.
Right,
and, of course, in 1960, there were 98 cents. I mean, they go up. But, yeah, it's true. The average price on a typical 1/25th scale plastic kit these days is anywhere from $20 to $35, you know.
Wow.
But with that said, for inflation, it's, you know, it's not that hard to to justify. But you know, there is a whole.
I was going to say, when you live in the past, though, like me, you know, when you're a knuckle dragger who doesn't think that, you know, who still listens to transistor radios, you think, hey, models are cheap. They're not.
That's right. That's right. Well, I guess the same thing. You know, the GTO used to be a $6,000 car back in 1985,
right?
And now it's, you know, $25,000 or $30,000 or $60,000. You know, things go up. Wow. With that said, we've never had better access to model cars, and one of the great things that you guys probably know about Round Two. That's a company that kind of bought up the Johnny Lightning stuff way back when, and now they own MPC, AMT, Lindbergh, IMC, Hawk.
And wow, they own them all.
Re-released. Yeah, they've re-released it, but they don't have Monogram or Revell. But with that said, they've re-released a lot of the old kits from the past, and stuff that used to be $200 at the swap meet or the model car show is now $30, you know, re-released. But beyond that, there's a company called Mobius. And what they're doing is they're doing models of like Don Nicholson's 65 overhead cam Comet, the Golden Commando's altered wheelbase Plymouth, and they're really, really good models. You know, back in the 60s, you know, model cars had a plate chassis with the exhaust, the axles molded in, and a metal axle went through it. It was kind of like a toy. Well, nowadays, you know, you get the suspension parts up front, spindles, coil springs, upper and lower control arms, drive shafts, and these models are tremendously, just amazingly detailed. Wow. So the golden days of the model car are kind of right now. We have the old ones available as reproductions, and the brand new stuff has never been better. So it's a good time to be a model builder.
Round.
Shall we go to the phones?
Quick. If you have a call. Yeah, I know we had something coming through. You still have it?
Let's do it. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun at 516-265-6950 and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths and Steve Mandante.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Steve actually answered a question for me. I had seen that article about that factory street race car. I think it was a Coronet, maybe?
Or yeah, it was a Roadrunner. Yeah, Plymouth GTX silver car. Yeah, that's the silver bullet.
Mm-hmm. And they bolt the quarter panels out to put a tire under.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, they were filling
it.
Jimmy Addison.
That car's still around.
It is. It is.
It had 450 inches of Hemi in it or something like that. A real big motor.
That's right. Yeah, the funny thing with that was, you know, if you Google Jimmy Addison Silver Bullet, you'll see all kinds of information on it. But the car was a big deal. It ran 1060s back in, like, you know, 1969, 70, 71. And Jimmy Addison was a fellow.
Wow, on a garbage tire.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had set of drag slicks on it, but it was an amazing car. It was the car to beat in Detroit. And the beautiful thing is, a fellow named Harold Sullivan, a big collector in the Detroit area, he recognized the car. He bought it as a Rolling Hulk. And spent a lot of money to restore the thing back to the way it was, and it comes out like if you go to the Woodridge Dream Cruise in Royal, you know, Pontiac, Michigan, or that area in Detroit, you'll see that car usually there at the Chrysler display, but it's been beautifully done. And the crazy thing is, Mr. Sullivan built a replica of the car, which is full boogie, like a 9-second drag car. So he didn't want to really beat up on the real Silver Bullet, so he built sort of a sister to it, a brother to it, that actually is a full-on drag car. So there's actually two of them now, but the real thing is still around.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, and the Brutus car, wasn't that turned into a stock car and basically destroyed?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I'm trying to kind of get to the bottom of that, and there's actually an issue of CarCraft magazine, I think March, but it was 1977, and in the back it says, identify this car and win a T-shirt. And sure enough, it shows a black and white picture of definitely the Brutus as a roller, and it says Bad Lemon on the side. Somebody painted Bad Lemon on the side, and it was probably a yellow car. But so 1977 was the last time that it was seen in one piece. Where it is now, anyone's guess. So, supposedly somebody in England has it, but I've seen a picture. It's not the car. It's something different. So I don't know. It's a tough thing, but a beautiful car. One of my favorite funny cars, the Brutus GTO.
Yeah.
You know, seeing
I
how
think
those
that's
cars
the one
get,
where he it's... hated it so bad that they pulled the parachute off and made a pass, and he didn't get wrecked it.
Well, you know, I don't know. I know certainly back in 1996 or so, there was a fellow named Mike Diddy, California guy. He's still around. He specializes in old photographs because he was like 10 years old taking pictures in the pits. And he showed me some pictures of the Brutus GTO at Irwindale after he had just crashed. And it wasn't a big bad wreck, but the quarter panels were all pushed in. The front bumper was broken in half, fiberglass. And at that point in time, Lou Arrington had sold it to a guy named Don Williamson, who then let a guy named Jimmy Trillo drive the car, who then crashed it on the first try. So with that said,
I think that was a tin Indian too, wasn't it? Wasn't it a tin Indian nose on it?
It might have been. It was some fiberglass, as I recall. But but no aluminum on the Brutus that I know of. But
no, the bigger cars had
the Brutus. Yeah, mm-hmm. But it lived on after that until about 1970 or so. And in fact, I have a tape of Don Williamson and Lou Arrington talking to me about this thing back in 96. I did a story called The Day Brutus Crashed for Drag Racing Monthly back in 1996-7, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And they told me basically in everything I just related here, but the Brutus lived on. And like I say, 1977 was the last time that it was, you know, publicly mentioned in Carcraft. And it was just a roller looking kind of sad.
Huh. And, you know, right. Vic, I thought that all the old race cars that were chopped apart and 80%, 85% of the car was gone and, you know, just down to a shell and then crashed and then raced again. I thought most of those just ended up in your backyard because I know I've seen a few.
Yeah, well, yeah, there was some old parts back here. You still are. Yeah.
Right.
They're going back to nature.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Vic, right, thanks Vic. So much for the call.
All right. You good guy.
Thanks, talk Vic. To you soon. Bye-bye. All right. I love Vic gets in-depth. I love that. Well, he gets in-depth.
And I'm glad you said that because the other thing in-depth that Steve does is he's talked about it and written articles about it, but now on Instagram he showed how he actually gets the car to sit in a wheelie position by using you know, lead weights and all. He actually went through that whole process several times and showed people, you know, he showed people his tricks, which I think is so great because it's, you know, just like freedom of information. I applaud you for doing that, Steve. That was a great thing you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of funny, you know, model cars, if you use the right tire, specifically the AMT, Goodyear slick, solid, got the bottom flat, just a little square on it, and then you can actually put a little bit of lead in the tail of the car and balance the car so it looks like it's doing a wheelie and it sits there hovering, defying gravity, but it's all about just putting a little bit of weight in the back.
Right.
That
wow.
seems to work.
That's great.
Well, grab another call while we're at it.
Yeah, if we have, sure.
Oh,
sure.
No, we missed it. I'm sorry.
So, Steve, what do you have coming up? What's looking like, what's in the future for Stevie Mags? What do you got going on?
Well, as we know, Barrett Jackson was supposed to be gone right about now, but, you know, they did a trial balloon, as it were, back in October in Scottsdale, and it satisfied the, you know, the health department in Scottsdale. Everything was cool. But at the last minute, they canceled. So anyway, the show that was supposed to go on right now in Scottsdale is going to happen March 22nd onward. So that's happening. So in the meantime, just, you know, building models, doing some writing for a variety of websites and stuff like that, and kind of just getting ready for 2021 to be a more normal year. And I'm going to guess that Barrett Jackson probably will have a full season of four shows, and I'll be at each one of them.
Oh, great. Great.
Fantastic.
Are you going to bring back the infamous Ring camera, that small camera you used years ago? I love that thing.
Oh, yeah. The Vindicator, yeah.
Yeah,
Vindicator. Probably not. The funny thing with that was that we started off with a camera that I actually had to hold. The trouble was I couldn't see. There was no monitor. So I put it on what I thought was the middle of the VIN, and I had in my earpiece, okay, Steve, move to the left, move to the left. Okay, oh, right there, right there. Meanwhile, I'm trying to talk about what I'm showing. So that was really kind of it was a bucket of monkeys, as it were. It was just not really, and we tried a different camera after that. But it was, and also beyond that, it required two guys to run cable, and it was just kind of a cumbersome thing. So we probably won't see the Vindicator camera again, okay. But we got the chassis cam, which is almost as good.
Yeah,
right.
No, great job. I would think, yeah, now, you know, now everything is downsized. Everything is now Bluetooth, and, you know, there's all sorts of new stuff coming out every day. But that was a great addition because it really let you zoom in on small areas.
But the funny thing is, if after a while, you need, like, Adrenaline because you would zoom in. And not you, but I'm saying that the basically the show's premise was they would zoom in on, like, a little hubcap and zoom, or a lug nut and zoom out. And then it was like watching a Godzilla movie. And then it would zoom back into a taillight, zoom back out again. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, get me off this ride.
Yeah, it was the Blair Witch Factor. Yes, I hear you.
Right.
It's like, can I get a full shot of the car for, like, 2 seconds? Nah, can I take it all in?
What's good is Steve was showing the details. They'd already done the wire. I know that was something we talked about for years. You never liked when the guys at Barrett Jackson would hold the camera at about knee length and, you know, and then, like, just follow the car. Yeah, I know that was a shot you didn't like.
It's true, Steve. I just chalk it up to the fact that I'm becoming a crotchety old man. That's what I've
Chassis cam is fantastic, though. That shows a lot of sins and a lot of hard work as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's fun to do. And sometimes the chassis cam, I was standing there and say, okay, Steve, chassis cam, go. Oh, okay. I run over a monitor. And then what I'm doing is when it happens, when there's a master shot showing the entire stage, watch for me. I'm standing there, not even looking at the car. I'm looking down at a screen that's on the side of the stage for us to look at occasionally. Right. And as the car rolls across, oh, okay, there's the finned oil pan. There's the, oh, that's a 6-speed manual. It's a T6. Oh, there's a drive shaft, X-piped exhaust. Oh, coil springs in the back, the narrowed rear axle, stainless to gas tank. So I'm saying that stuff as I see it on the monitor as the car rolls behind me. I'm not even looking at the car. So right. The magic of television, it's not always, it's like making sausages.
Yeah, exactly. So you're seeing what we're seeing? Basically?
Yeah, well, yes, in that instance, yes. And the crazy thing, too, is that, when you come to the auction, you don't see the broadcast. You don't even hear the broadcast. And what you see, if you come into the building, what you get is the auctioneer talking. And you don't see, you can see us, but you don't hear the broadcast. And there was talk earlier about selling earbuds so folks could listen, but the fear was if we said something about a car that was incorrect and it caused somebody to not bid or, whatever, from listening to us, in real time, right there, they didn't want to know how that ended. So there probably never will be an earbud in real time on the auction block. Okay. But it was thought about, but probably won't happen.
Right. But
interestingly, so all you guys, you of course included, are some of the most knowledgeable people about cars, and you do your research prior, and I'm sure the other guys do too. So who better to give that information and be correct about it? I got to say, probably 9.98% of the time. Anyway, that's great. Well, we are winding down. We only have a few minutes left on the show. And Steve, we thank you for coming on with us. This has been a great hour.
Yes.
And as you know, next week we have the darling of Dodge is following you up. Miss Alana Scherer from California is going to be on with us next week. So we're going to continue the Mopar Mouth Radio. thing. That's we were the guys at the UD named us that because we had a bunch of Mopar stuff for weeks on end, and they said, "Hey, what are you guys, Mopar Mouth Radio now?" Like, "Hey, yeah, all right." So we are.
Yeah.
We roll all with right. it.
That's for sure. So we're looking forward to more episodes of, and I'm thinking we can it can be done. I mean, you guys are outside. You can. Is it going to be really a problem to do more episodes of the Junkyard Crawl and
Junkyard Gold? Yeah,
Junkyard Gold. Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's likely on March 1st we'll know exactly what's going on. My contract with Motor Trend either comes up for renewal or otherwise, and if they don't want to do more, I'll find a place to do more. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes. Yeah, there's 31 episodes, so I'm kind of competing with myself is kind of the thing. But as soon as they want more, I'm ready.
Right. Very good. All right, Steve, any parting words before we wrap this up?
No, just thankful to be here, and it's wonderful to just be involved with automobiles. And I guess always look at the car and really try to see more than what you're really seeing. Cars always have a story to tell. Be ready for it.
Got it. Thank Very you, Steve. Cool. We'll be in touch. We thank you for coming on. We'll be in touch. Have you on again. For Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, ending this episode of Motor Mouth Radio, check us on the web, motormouthradio.com, for the podcast. And until then, keep it between the lines. What do you say, Chris?
Don't follow us home and check out stevemagnante.com.
Chris, what's your closing line on Junkyard Gold?
Well, just stay tuned. Watch us on Friday nights, of course, on Motor Trend. And, of course, if you would like to subscribe to Motor Trend On Demand and see all 32 episodes at your leisure, it's like, I think, $4 a month. It's not that much. And you can also see hundreds of other shows, too. There's almost too much, but there's never too much.
I'll do the one that I was thinking of. It was Hasta Magnante.
There you go. Okay, Hasta Magnante. True.
See you next week.
This show, 90.3 WHPC, is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.